Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Welcome back, everyone, to the channel. Tonight's terrifying video, I am bringing you three allegedly true, horrifying cryptid encounter stories. You be the judge. Now, let's get spooky. We all have our routines, a combination of bad habits and good that we have settled into. It makes life easier, makes life healthier. I firmly believe that a good routine is the best way to succeed in anything. The only problem is, it's tough to give up a routine. A struggle to stop making the same breakfast before work, talking to the same barista at the coffee place, and taking the same path through the forest on my way to the logging camp. I like that town a lot, even if I only knew it for a year. It's predictable, it's safe, and when the sun shines, it's beautiful. Although, that is a rarity. I think I'd take a job outside over a desk job any day, no matter how taxing it is on my body. I will happily become a stronger man for a chance to breathe fresh air and get my blood pumping. I wouldn't say it's healthier, though. There have been several accidents on site, and a lumberjack did die the year before I arrived. You'd be surprised at the mortality rate in this line of work. It's not as simple as you would think to chop down a tree. Well, most of the time it is, but still, safety is a priority concern. Why did I take that job? Like most people who leave the city, I wanted an escape. My personal life got a little too dramatic for me to handle. I started doing things out of character. I just stopped being me. So instead of hurting people I cared about, I thought a little isolation and reflection was in order. What better way to do that than in the countryside? I settled in well enough. The guys were pretty quiet, but we just got on with the work. There's always a lot to do and not much time to do it. Another point to make about this line of work is how nowadays speed and efficiency are necessary factors for staying out of the red. Competition is fierce. Some certainly have better machines too. The company I work for keeps their costs cheap by making use of cheap labor over expensive machines and pushing that labor as far as the dollar will make them. I think the motto of the higher-ups is that no job is too big if you throw enough bodies at it. Looking at the results, I am inclined to agree. I accepted the bad salary and tough conditions because I didn't need to. I have money. It's how I paid for the place I stayed at. Passive income goes a long way. I just wanted a career change, and I thought I would live a small boyhood dream during my escape. As I said, I always took the same path going to work. It wasn't so far that I needed to take the truck, so I liked to walk through the field, the forest, and along the river until I reached the logging camp. The whole journey took almost an hour, so I would leave pretty early. It's usually light enough for a walk, but during the winter months, it was dark as a coal mine, not to mention cold. One morning, I pulled on my backpack with a groan and was still rubbing the sleepy dust out of my eyes as I locked the door behind me. Sleeping in is easy on cold mornings, especially if your body knows what it's going to endure all day. Crossing through the field, I listen to the crows caws, spotting their dark bodies against the gray sky on the dead tree branches. Even during summer, they were around, but weren't so vocal. I didn't mind them, though. I think I'm one of the few people around who thinks they are pretty cool. Next to vultures, they are the most metal birds around. At the end of the field, I kicked some of the tall grass to watch the morning dew scatter, then took a left into the forest. There was a narrow path that opened up about 10 minutes ahead. I liked that wider path the most, as the foliage thinned out and all I saw were tree trunks until I reached the river. It was shaped up to be another peaceful walk. I could hear the gurgling of the river ahead of me. The nature's silence was then taken by a heavy smack of something hitting the water, then a churning sound of water being splashed. I hesitated for a moment before picking up the pace to see what it was. I saw the white water being kicked up, but not what was in the water. Not until it stopped thrashing around. A deer. Young antlers sprouting out of its head with wide, glass-like eyes. It floated with the current kicking out, but less and less as the blood dribbled from its wounds. I couldn't see it as clearly enough to measure the extent of the damage, but I could see its neck muscles, and I saw shredded skin along its side. It was mutilated. It didn't look like it had been naturally mauled by a bear or a wolf or anything. I had seen plenty of dead wildlife through the year, but nothing like that. Most importantly, I didn't see the thing that caused it. It would surely be looking for its prey. If it was fast enough to catch a deer, it sure as hell wouldn't lose it if it tried to escape. Not with those injuries. As I looked around, I became a lot more agitated. Fear produced wolves, a bear even, in my imagination. Yet I was just annoyed that I didn't see them. The thrashing had stopped. I heard a soft, hollow sound of the deer's antlers hitting a few rocks sticking out of the water. Reaching the logging camp, my mind was still fixated on what I had seen. The sound of the machinery of axes hitting logs snapped me out of it. I wasn't an animal expert. I was a man hired to cut timber and firewood, mostly firewood in my case. So, I sank my teeth into some work, starting slow to warm up before getting into the swing of things. The sound of log being split never gets old. When we take breaks at the camp, it's mostly informal. We all had work to do, and as long as we got it done, we could stop for a breather or two or eat whenever we wanted. I ended up being stopped by a guy named Isaac. We've been having our breaks usually around the same time as each other, so we often ended up eating together. Isaac was the closest friend I had there, really. We were mostly quiet. Even eating was a chore at times. But when we did talk, it was about TV. There was no doubt in my mind that Isaac had more interesting things going on in his life than what he saw on TV, but he just found TV a lot more worth his time. "Bees are dying," he said. "Are they now?" I replied. "Yep. Won't be any bees in a few years." "How many years?" "Can't right well remember, but can you remember the last time you saw a bee?" "I think I saw a few in spring." "Probably dead now." "Huh, probably," I hummed. I wanted to change the conversation, and only one thing came to mind. "Do you know what else is dead?" I went on to tell him what I saw on the walk over. I think he was only half listening. Dead deer weren't anything out of the ordinary. What caught his attention was the fact I didn't see anything. "Wolf isn't gonna let that get away," Isaac said simply, an open and shut case as far as he was concerned. If it got away, it would find it later. It knows when a prey is wounded. It will wash up and the wolf will take care of it.
You think it was a wolf?
What else?
Wolves are the only things around here that could catch deer.
Right. It was a lot of damage, though. What about a bear?
No bears here.
What do you mean, no bears?
Seriously? I thought.
Upgrade your laundry routine with a durable and reliable Maytag laundry pair at Lowe's. Like the new Maytag washer and dryer with performance-enhanced stain-fighting power designed to cut through serious dirt and grime. And what's great is this laundry pair is in stock and ready for delivery when you need it the most. Don't miss out. Shop Maytag in-store or online today at Lowe's.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
No bears. I didn't want to argue with someone who knew more than me, no matter how much I struggled to believe what they were saying. I considered myself lucky I didn't run into them. I'm not really scared of wolves. I'm usually caring and even have a flare on the side of my backpack. Wolves can be pretty skittish when you know how to act, not to mention shoot. I felt comfortable enough to walk back. So I did, and got home without incident. I didn't see the deer. That evening, I settled in to watch one of the channels that Isaac enjoyed, a DIY channel. It's amazing how quickly you could lose yourself in watching someone assemble a linen chest. I also had enough of nature for the day, so watching an animal documentary wasn't in the cards. The pain in my left arm was setting in, but they would be gone by morning. Good old routine. Before I went to bed, I got a call from my wife, Lara. She usually called during the day, but reception sucked in the logging camp, so I never got them. I also suck because I never bother to check my call log, and sometimes when I do, I don't bother calling them back. I guess even far away, I hurt people.
What is it? I asked with a little too much attitude.
Christ, I just wanted to hear your voice,
she snapped.
It's been 3 days.
It was a good point. I didn't have a comeback, so I ended up saying nothing.
I say I wanted to hear your voice and you go quiet on me?
Lara murmured.
How are you? Can you tell me that?
I'm fine. I'm all right.
Okay.
More silence. My mouth was hanging open, but my throat felt like it was closed off. Nothing could escape. Not even a small squeak. I was scrawling at my knees. Sawdust and wood fragments still clung to them.
I miss the hell out of you. You know that. Lara said. I even miss massaging your shoulders after work.
I let out a small exhale of a laugh.
I bet your shoulders are like stone now, Lara said.
I could hear the smile in her voice.
Say something, you stupid bastard.
She giggled as she said it, and I gave a low laugh. I was smiling. I couldn't help myself. I hated what I was putting her through, but I wasn't right around her either. I liked her company, but I just felt like I didn't belong there. I guess a year of reflection gets you nowhere. I decided to try, whether I felt like it or not.
Yeah, whole body is aching, actually, I told her.
I bet.
Pretty weird day, too.
Tell me about it. I'm listening.
The next day, I walked with some pep in my step. I didn't even remember the field or the crows. I just slipped into the forest, though buzzing in my head, replaying my talk with Lara. The clouds were a little darker, the fog a little thicker, but I could see the trees and the mountains. It was good enough for me. The path was open. I must have walked through a cold snap or something. I felt all the warmth vanish. It could have been a bad wind, maybe, or maybe I just didn't notice. The more I think about it, the less I believe any of those reasons. Soon after I felt that cold, I heard the familiar creaking of wood being pulled, splintering, crashing. A tree ahead of me had fell across the path, the branches snapping into a pile of twigs, the bark peeling apart. It was an old tree, but not so old that it would fall for no reason. As I got closer, I saw that the tree had been cut just above head height, which is far too high, and the cut was clean, but not straight. There was a slight curve to it, which again was not normal. Not sure what to do about it, I approached the end of the tree and grabbed beneath it. Lifting my legs, I was able to crab walk with it and get it off the path. The physical extortion that took without a real warm-up was great, and looking back on it, it was a dumb thing to do. I would have injured my back, even as young as I am. As I pulled the tree down, another chill ran through me. It was like a split-second dip in an ice bath. I grabbed my arms and huddled, breathing out with a sudden exhale. As I did, the branches ahead of me on the trees began to come apart, as if severed by a perfectly sharpened blade. I didn't think anything cut them, but I saw how those cuts appeared and gravity did the rest, trimming tree branches like it was a hedge. My warmth came back just as quickly, but my heart remained cold. I became painfully aware of my surroundings, feeling that same feeling one gets when someone is looking over one's shoulder. I looked all around, taking light steps up the path. What was so nerve-wracking was that I couldn't see anything. I mentioned that the foliage thinned out in the open area, but it was just the ground and the trees. I should have been able to see something, but I didn't. I was mouth-breathing, my heart pounding in my ears all the way to the river. I was afraid, but I had no idea what I had been afraid of. I felt threatened, but what could hurt me? What could have done that to the trees and made me feel so cold before doing it? The sound of the river filled my ears. I didn't hear any splashing, but it was loud enough all the same. Another cold chill reached me. I feared the worst, then fell backwards, landing in the water. "Oh, shit!" I stammered, for a moment thinking I had been pulled in. Thinking on it further, I simply backed up into a stiff rock and tripped over it. "Shoot, what the F?" Drenched from head to toe, I still felt warmer than I did a second before. I looked out into the forest, for some reason feeling safer than I did on dry land. That feeling of being followed, of being closely watched, persisted. I walked slowly up the river, keeping my feet in the water. It was a few feet from the shore, and it might have seemed stupid, but I genuinely felt like I wouldn't be hurt staying in the water. That anxiety lessened the closer I got to the logging camp, to the point where I felt like I could step out of the water and be okay. I sensed the threat within the forest, even if I didn't see it. It took me a while before I felt confident enough to turn back on it, looking towards the machines in the main tent. That kind of tension was exhausting. While my mind tried to comprehend the experience, I approached the main tent, considering taking a nap or something before starting work. It was only when I was a foot away that I stopped and noticed how quiet the camp was. I didn't hear or see anyone. The machines were empty. I didn't hear a single axe hitting wood. Nothing. When I turned back to the tent, I noticed the wall part as a snout peeked through. Not a snout of something knee or waist high. It was my height. Ragged fur, gleaming teeth, and piercing eyes. My hand dropped to my side. I felt my fingers wrap around the handle of my gun. When I raised it, the entire tent parted as hands jumped towards me. "Whoa, whoa, whoa!" someone shouted. "It's all good!" All my co-workers emptied out of the tent, the head of the wolf-like monster hovering there for a moment. Eventually, hands pulled the mask off and a terrified Isaac looked at me. He eventually smiled, but I think his life flashed before his eyes first. There was laughter all around, but it took a while for the joke to hit me. I doubled over, trying to catch my breath and calm my heart. It was going like a jackhammer.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy, thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
I'm not a bad guy when it comes to pranks, but I was terrified and they could see that. I was asked all sorts of questions, from what took me so long to get to work and why I was soaked. These were questions I knew the answer to, but then Isaac eyed my cheek. "Where did you score the cut?" he asked. "You're bleeding like a stuck pig." Touching the left side of my face rewarded me with bloody fingertips. I had cut not just along my cheek, but across my ear as well. I didn't notice because my face was getting cold, but after drying off, the cut was stinging the whole day, especially around the ear. While I dealt with that, Isaac told me how he mentioned my encounter with the dead deer to the other guys, and one thought up the prank, seeing as he had a werewolf mask. The only time he ever gets to use it is for Halloween, so he didn't want to miss out on the opportunity, you know? Isaac explained. "I figure I should wear it, though, just in case you wanted to punch someone. It might as well be me. Didn't know you had a concealed carry, though." The prank was enough for the others to feel satisfied and get on with their day. I didn't mind. I barely cared. All I wanted from him was a lift back to my place because I didn't want to walk back. I was so eager to get home that when work ended, I waited right up by the river section closest to his truck just to be safe. By the time I walked into my place, I had made a decision. Anything could happen to you, and you don't know when. If you don't appreciate what you have, you could lose it. I didn't want to die with my relationship with Lara on the rocks. Isolating myself, feeding into my insecurities, neglecting her. All I would become is a bad memory, and if anything came after, I would feel nothing but regret. I'm home now. We are better now. I'm better now. I'm trying, day by day. Yet, whenever I'm alone, someplace secluded, I feel it. My knees buckle, ready to duck or to run. It could be here. It cut me. It saw me bleed. Maybe it had my scent. I don't know. But there are times when I'm just scared. I can't stop looking over my shoulder for the thing that followed me. It all started with a phone call. I picked up on the third ring. "Jesse," Paul started, his voice cutting through the silence of the night and waking me from my deepest sleep I have had in a while. "I just checked on your cows, and a couple of them slipped through a break in the fence." Rubbing a hand over my face, I blew out a frustrated sigh and peeked out at the clock on my dresser. The red numbers glared back at me tauntingly. 11:32. Despite being absolutely exhausted, I knew my farmland couldn't handle it all on its own, and these cows were my bread and butter. If I lost any more, I'd be madder than a hornet's nest. "Jesse?" Paul questioned. "You fall asleep on me, brother?" I shook my head, more to convince myself than him, sat up in my bed and threw off the covers. "I hear you. Just real tired is all, but I'm up." A crackle settled over the phone before I heard Paul clear his throat and say, "Yeah, they're gone, over yonder in the tree line. I'm sure we could get them round up, though, and we'll get you back in bed here soon." With a tug, I yanked on my boots and laced them. "Thanks, brother. I appreciate your help. Just let me get my bearings and I'll be there in two shakes." "See you in a bit," he said, the phone disconnecting. Honestly, now that I thought about it, the fact that Paul was even out this late was strange even of itself. I don't know what he was doing out in the pasture at this time of the night, but I did know that it wasn't safe. For the past couple of weeks, cows have gone missing right and left, and I'd felt increasingly helpless. Something had to give, and it wasn't going to be me. Whatever or whoever was doing this was going to pay for the chaos they had caused one way or another, because there wasn't any way I was going to roll over and let it happen. With a glance in the mirror, I ran a hand through my hair, blew out a breath, and switched on the lamp. I threw on an old flannel and headed downstairs just in time to be caught by my little sister. "Jesse, what are you doing up so late?" she asked, her big brown eyes peering up at me from the living room couch. "You know," I started, a small grin tugging at my lips. "I should be asking you the exact same thing, young lady." With a huff, she held her nose in the air and looked down at me, a bowl of Cap'n Crunch in her hand. 16-year-olds don't need a bedtime." She paused and then pointed towards her bowl. "And besides, I was famished. You can't cook worth the crap." "Famished?" I muttered, the word floating from my mouth on a sarcastic breath. I don't know why in the world you go around using words like famished, but my squirrel and dumplings beats a bowl of Cap'n Crunch any day. I quipped it, my hand coming down to ruffle her hair. She scrunched up her nose, set down the bowl, and rolled her eyes before saying, "You and I both know that's a lie." Suddenly noticing that I had my shoes on, she quirked a curious brow and said, "Where are you heading this late at night?" Booted feet trudging over to the door, I winced when I heard the floorboard creak. I really needed to replace that. "I'm heading out to the pasture. A couple of the cows got loose and Paul needs help rounding them up. I should be back before sunrise. Just make sure..." "I'll come help too," she retorted, already racing over to her room to track down her own shoes. "Ava!" I shouted from the living room. "Don't worry about it. I'm sure tween Paul and I will do just fine." Despite my qualms, I watched as she came clomping out of her room, feet shoved into worn leathered boots, and her braids loose, baby hairs sticking out in every direction. With a shake of my head, I chuckled at her stubbornness, realizing that this was just one battle that wasn't worth fighting. Stepping out into the cool night air, I waved her onward, unlocking my old pickup truck and shoving my key into the ignition. Ava plopped down on the seat next to me, her hands picking at a scab on her elbow. The old truck choked a couple of times before finally sputtering to life. And then we were speeding down the old dirt road, dust kicking up into the air in thin brown puffs. When we finally made it to the ranch, though, Paul wasn't anywhere in sight. Only having a landline had its advantages and its disadvantages, and right now it was the latter. Maybe he had run back home to his old lady. She was as big as she was round. Her belly stretched out clear in front of her like an overly ripe watermelon. This was going to be their first child, and she was due any day now. Paul, of course, was increasingly paranoid that something would happen to her, or she would need something when he wasn't around, so he never strayed too far from her side. Although I haven't ever married and had kids of my own, my worry was somewhat similar when Ava was out of my sight for too long. So I couldn't blame the man for running off if that was the issue. Shoving the thought aside, I made a mental note to call him about it later. "Jesse," Ava called, her voice cutting through the still of the night. She had already hopped out of the car and was halfway across the cow pasture, standing right smack dab in the middle of it. "Ava, it's darker than sin out here. You need to stay close to me. There's no telling what's lurking out in these parts at this hour of the night." "Oh, come on," she yelled back. "Don't be a baby." Even in the dark, I could sense her sass, her tone.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Tongues sticking out at me rebelliously as I fought a losing battle to not step on the countless cow patties littering the pasture. Somehow in my sleep-deprived state, I had grabbed my nice boots instead of my mud-crusted ones, caked in who knows what else. "Ava, I'm serious," I warned. "I already have to look for these cows, and the last thing I need to be looking for is you." I paused, my voice stern, but softened a little around the edges. "Listen, you came here to help, not hinder, you hear?" An exasperated sigh left her lips before she finally relented and shrugged her shoulders. "Fine, I'll stay close." I patted her shoulder and pointed towards the few heifers that were grazing along the tree line. "Listen, The faster we work together to get this done, the faster you could get back at home eating your Cap'n Crunch. Strolling across the field with me, her steps fell in line with my own. 3 of hers for every 1 of mine. "It'll be soggy by then," she quipped. I punched her slightly on the shoulder, shooting her a grin. "I'll make it up to you by taking you to the Waffle House in town." Her eyes suddenly lit up at the offer before she grabbed my arm and practically dragged me along. "Deal," she said, a smile spreading across her features. A couple of hours later, and we both quickly realized that gathering the cows and mending the fence took a whole lot longer than we anticipated. Wiping some sweat from her brow, Ava suddenly glanced over towards me and then back around at our surroundings before saying, "Did you hear that?" "Hear what?" I asked. "The cows mooing?" I nudged her shoulder playfully, then spoke up again. "Yeah, that's kind of what they do." She punched me in the side, narrowing her eyes, and said, "No, stupid, it sounds like a lady or something, like she's talking to someone." My eyes met hers, my face contorting into one of silent skepticism. "Ava, I don't hear a dang thing beside the wind blowing through the trees and those cows mooing way over yonder. Now help me pack up my toolbox so we could get the heck out of Dodge before you scare yourself even more." With a huff, she helped me load everything back into the toolbox before she stopped again. I eyed her, stopping what I was doing and folding my arms over my chest. "What is it this time?" I questioned, my brows raising expectantly. "There's no way you didn't hear that," she exclaimed, her movements animated as her hands flew up to express her concern. "This time it sounded really deep and gruff, kind of like a man was talking." I brushed it off, pressing the toolbox closed and picking it up before turning to her and saying, "I think your imagination is just going a little haywire." Peeking a glance at my watch, I eternally cringed when I noticed that it was about 2:00. As I took a couple of steps across the pasture, though, I noticed that suddenly the night noises came to a standstill. I stopped in my tracks, looking over at Ava, and noticed her do the same. This time, I felt a strange tension in the air. The pasture's normal harmony of moos were suddenly quiet. The crickets from before had even died down, their music fading into an odd silence. It became very apparent that we were all alone, and something about that felt terribly uncomfortable. By the time we had mended the fence, the cows had wandered across the field, deciding to hunker down under some trees for the night. Fog crept over the lush grass, coating the pasture in an almost ethereal haze. Something about it was eerie, and it made me just uneasy enough to kick myself for forgetting to grab my gun off of my nightstand. "Jesse," Ava whispered, breaking me from my silent observation, her voice slightly wavering. I turned on my heel to face her, my eyes taking in her worried expression, her own eyes as wide as saucers. "Ava, what's
over there?"
She pointed, cutting me off, her fingers shaking like a leaf. Following her trajectory, I stilled. Every hair on my arms stood on end when my eyes connected with 2 more near the tree line. Ava looked like a deer caught in the headlights, her own arms sprinkled in goosebumps. The eyes glowed hauntingly, a sinister smirk fixing itself on the creature's face. A smile way too wide to be human, except for the fact that it appeared as if in some strange way, it was. Despite this thing being shrouded in darkness, there was no mistaking the outline of a human-like form. I wrapped my hand around Ava's arm fast as lightning, and began to hurry the both of us out of the field.
Ava, I whispered, you gotta move faster. Come on, you've gotta help me.
My legs made quick strides across the pasture, but Ava was still struggling to keep up. I made a quick decision, grabbing her up and throwing her over my shoulder before jogging towards the truck. I threw the both of us inside, quickly locking the doors and peering out across the pasture, expecting to see those glowing eyes still fixed on the two of us. Except, there was nothing. Still shaken up, I shoved my key into the ignition of my old diesel truck, hoping and praying it wouldn't give me any trouble this time. A shiver raced down my spine as time crawled by. Distressed, I waited for the orange glow on my instrument panel to fade, mirroring the unsettling memory of that creature's eyes, the way they gleamed from the depths of the woods, only proving to add to my ever-growing anxiety. When the engine roared to life, though, there was no relief. The turbo barely had a chance to awaken before I got the heck out of Dodge, barreling down the road, a spewing plume of rolling coal left in our wake, a frantic attempt to outpace the lurking fear behind me.
What was that? Ava suddenly asked, her knees huddled up to her chest as her arms wrapped securely around them.
With a quick scan of my surroundings, I took in the rearview mirror and exhaled a sigh of relief when there was nothing but the trees and a cloud of dirt behind us. I honestly have no idea what that thing was, but I do know that I'm going to call Paul as soon as we get back to the house and get all this straightened out. My voice shook slightly, but I tried to mask it, clearing my throat and gripping the steering wheel instead. The last thing I wanted was for Ava to know that I was scared out of my doggone mind.
Jesse,
she said, her voice soft and quiet, hands picking at the loose string on her jeans.
It's okay to be scared.
I knew that she was only trying to comfort me, but one of us had to be strong, so I shook off my fear as best as I could and reached out a hand to pat her knee. I'm not scared, I replied, my voice smooth and even. I'm just worried. The second we pulled up to the house, though, that worry slowly morphed back into fear. Something familiar was lying on the front porch. Slamming the truck into park, I hopped out and ran up to it. There, splayed out across the wood, was a bloodied mass. A cow. I held back a gasp, trying and failing to steady my stomach as it bubbled and churned. Instead, I bent over and dry-heaved, the smell infiltrating everything around me. Blood and guts squirmed and writhed with millions of maggots, the badly slaughtered heifer lying there with her black, glossy eyes staring up at the ceiling, tongue dangling from her mouth. Large lacerations covered her body, monstrous chunks missing from her abdominal area. It took all I had not to vomit. The sound of the truck door rang out as Ava closed it, and before I could stop her, her feet were paddling across the grass to stand beside me. I heard her gasp before she quickly reached towards her shirt, tugging it over her nose to mask the horrible, wretched smell. Covering my own nose with the sleeve of my flannel, I motioned for Ava to follow me inside. I needed to inspect the cabin, but I also wanted to keep her close. Together, the both of us carefully moved throughout the room until we were both satisfied that we were safe. Once we both gave the okay, we plopped down on the couch and just stared at each other. Neither of us mentioned the cow still laying outside on the front porch, but I was certain that somehow we both knew how it got there. Exhaustion clung over us like a wet t-shirt, but it was apparent that the adrenaline coursing through our systems had us both working in overdrive. And that's when I heard it. The landline in the kitchen. It's gotta be Paul. I stood from the couch and hurried over to the phone, nearly tripping over my own feet as I answered it on the first ring. "Paul?" I questioned, my voice a bit too loud, a bit too unrestrained, and a whole lot of worried. "Where the heck are you, man?" Suddenly, the line crackled and a voice came back over the phone.
"Jesse, Paul's..."
There was a pause, but the slight edge that the voice had was unmistakable.
"Missy? Is that you? Where's Paul?"
"Paul's..."
Her voice wavered again before I heard the phone being snatched from her hand, and another voice floated over the line, the tone both sinister and calm.
"I'm sorry, Jesse," it crooned, its voice deep and smooth. "Paul's not here right now. In fact, Paul was just getting in the way, so I simply had to."
The voice trailed off, the line crackling again. Fear coursed through me, and I couldn't help but break out into a cold sweat. The realization finally dawning on me. This was the creature. Instead of following us home, it had ran back to Paul's house, but why?
"You..." My voice shook. "You didn't. You didn't kill..."
"Oh, but I did," the creature hissed.
I could almost feel its grin widening at the unbridled disbelief.
"You see," it started. "I'll say it in a way that your poor human mind can comprehend. Missy here's got a bun in the oven," the creature drew out.
And then he suddenly went quiet, giving me a second to let it all sink in. And when it finally did, I paled and nearly dropped the phone when it responded.
"And it doesn't belong to Paul."
Hey guys, I've been telling my friend about some of the weird and horror-story-esque things you'd find in the forests and fields of rural Ohio, and I thought that people here may find them interesting as well. To preface, you've probably never heard about any of these things. Ohio gets fairly little tourism as is, so obviously the big guys are going to try to keep things like this quiet. If you're not in Ohio, don't look these up. Don't search for them. Don't ask people about them. Don't even think about them outside these stories. It's too dangerous, as no one outside of Ohio is even supposed to know about these things happening. I'll copy and paste the stories exactly as I told my friend, so you could get the original experience. More and more of these are coming back to my memory every day, and I'll tell some tales of them if people are interested. In any case, thanks for reading. This one has a frickin' stupid name, but people call them Weederbulks. I'm pretty sure the first guy to claim to have seen one was a landscaper for some rich guy, and the bulk part, I don't know. Anyway, I've seen these things myself a few times. Crapped my frickin' pants when I did, too. So when my friend and I, or sometimes just me, would hang out in these wooden structures that these airsoft teens built for airsoft wars a while ago, we'd be pretty deep in the woods. My neighbor wasn't too far from a huge area of woods, so yeah. We'd be hanging out, and all of a sudden hear a sound that I really cannot describe too well. It was like a chicken clucking mixed with a smoker saying, "Whoop!" So of course we were like, "What the F is that?" And we would look around. After a few seconds, I looked up into the trees and spot this frickin' six-armed, skinny as hell and giant-eyed thing. If I knew how to draw anything, I'd try to show you, but I'm crap at art. So of course I'm frozen, just staring at this thing, and my friend asks if I found something, not having turned to look at me yet. After I don't respond, he looks over and follows my line of sight. Seconds after he sees this thing, he gasps. It makes that frickin' sound again, and we take off. I assume it didn't follow us, but it took a long time until we felt safe enough to enter those woods again. I've seen them a few other times outside of that, but that was my first experience. There's even a scar on my ankle from getting caught on barbed wire that we left on the ground when we were running. This next one I have my own name for, because no one else I've asked has any idea what I'm talking about. But that's probably because I was like an hour and a half away from home because I was visiting my girlfriend who lived way out of the middle of bumfuck. So I was coming back home after seeing her. It was around 1:30 a.m. I'm driving on dead country roads and had the piss. And I see on Google Maps that I'm not too far from a convenience store. I pull up to the store and park. My dad calls me because he has apps to show where my sister and I are because, y'all know, modern parents. He was wondering why I stopped, so I explained and then hung up, went inside, pissed, got a bag of Dippin' Dots and a real cane sugar Sprite, and then paid and left. Keep in mind, this is like the only building for miles. So I get back in my car and start getting gas. There's very little risk of like getting robbed out here because there's like literally no one to do it. But I was still wary. As the pump well pumped, I was just watching my surroundings. That's when I see the corn stalks on the other side of the road, about a quarter of a mile down, start to move. Obviously, I'm instantly in what the F mode and keep staring at the corn. Different stalks move along the side, but nothing actually emerges for a while. So I'm like, all right, weird, but whatever. I pay and get back in my car, pulling out onto the road and watching that area again as I pass by. Right as I'm reaching it, I see what I could only describe as a really hairy, three-fingered hand pulling back into the stalks. Seeing this, I absent-mindedly slammed on the brakes. Luckily, there wasn't anyone else driving at that time. I sit there for a minute and nothing happens. My hazards are on in case someone comes by. A few minutes pass. Nothing. So, this was stupid, I know. But I turned off my lights and hazards and turned the car off, keeping the doors locked. I sit there and just keep staring, trying to prove to myself that I wasn't insane and didn't just imagine a hand. Not long after I turned off the car, maybe 30 seconds, the corn started to move. I'm both excited and terrified, but I keep watching. A hunched-over humanoid-looking thing walks out onto the road. Big yellow eyes, tiny pupils, skinny neck, basically clawed and hairy hands. Again, I couldn't tell how many fingers exactly. Its body reminded me of a jockey's from Left 4 Dead, but it was definitely taller, maybe 6'5". I'm yet again shitting myself just watching this thing, and it's walking towards my car, slowly. It comes up to the window and just looks at me. The head wasn't like a monster or anything. The head shape was human, but just a little bit larger than what you would expect. Large enough to be noticeable if you were paying attention. That's when I could see its face better. Small mouth, nose bent and malformed. The eyes I already mentioned, but no eyelids. It didn't seem to have eyelids. So this big frickin' yellow bald with tiny black specks just stares at me, staring right into my eyes as I slowly reach for the key in the ignition and slowly turned it, slamming on the gas before the car could even fully start. I kept checking my mirror all the way back to my house, which was about an hour from where I had stopped. Never did I once see it again, but I always know it's out there. I've taken a calling to it as the stalker because of the corn. It's a pun, yeah, but it's fitting. Last one for today. Triflers. They're like those weird gnome sightings, except they're real. They seem to always travel in packs, likely because they're so small, but I don't exactly know what they do. They pretty much ignored me when I encountered them. They have long hair, ratty and gross-looking like a meth addict. I've only ever seen it as black or gray. Tiny turds. They're probably a bit bigger than a foot tall and have stick-thin bodies. My encounter with them was also on the way back from seeing my ex. They had emerged from a different cornfield and I saw them on the horizon. They were crossing the road as I was coming up, but they had made it across before I was too close. By the time I reached them, they were walking towards another field on the opposite side of the road, so I stopped and took out my mag light to see what the hell I was looking at. Thing has a far-ass reach. I aimed the beam at them and they stopped and turned to look at me. Faces too small to make out at that distance, but I knew they were looking at me. After that, I turned it off and got out of there. It wasn't like life-threatening scary, just weird, creepy, and unnatural scary.